Okay, so this is Lady Marmalade with Free Radio Olympia.
This is DJ Joel. We're here with Boots Riley from the Coup. Boots, thanks
so much. What's going on?
Hey, man, thanks for such a real good show. I know that you're tired, but I just wanted to ask you, like, one question. I asked another band member this, too. But, okay, so your music, it has so much, right? I mean, you get very political, but then you talk about love. You talk about what's going on. You talk about bus riding, right? So it's just, like, a way for you to express yourself and get it out. And I just want to, like maybe you could start off by telling how many years you've been doing music in the Coup, and then what it's meant for you, like, personally, to be able to express yourself musically like this.
Well, the Coup, we've been... put out our first nationwide album in 93. So, what is that? Almost 16 years now? What? Damn. Wait, am I right? Am I tripping? No.
Like
12 years. Yeah, I'm tripping. See? I'm tired.
But you've been doing it for longer than that, obviously.
Well, yeah, the Coup actually started on New Year's Eve, 1991. So, you know. And we had it. So we had an EP out before our first album, and we just been working it ever since. And the music is, I think at first it started out just being slogans and stuff like that, you know, like just straight off the pamphlet type stuff, and like, you know, these are the beliefs that I think. That people should know about. But as I became more developed, I wanted to have a way to express myself and all of my ideas and my thoughts, and just trust in that me talking about everyday life and the things that I'm going through, that will also go within the realm of the things that I believe, you know. So, you know.
You do it in a very creative manner, I think, so, which is really great because you can kind of pull people in, you know, with your message. Do you think people... I mean, because the stuff that you're saying, again, as I said to your band, it's very heavy stuff. When you really break it down, it's like, damn, that guy's really talking about something. So how do you feel that people really, like, grasp the message you're trying to say? Now, I know, like, when you come to these clubs, everybody's dancing because you all are really putting on a good show, you know? But, like, so, like, when you, like, dialogue with people, because in the end, music is a great way of expression. It's a great way to have a good time. But I can tell that you also have other goals in mind, you know? And so, like, how do you feel that that's working out? Living here with Bush, you know, Bush Jr. and his president, shit that's going on. Do you feel like things are clicking? Do you feel like...
As far as between the music developing into action or... I mean, I think that music is just an expression just like talking is. So, you know, you could have the greatest orator giving speeches all over the place, but if there's no organization and no plan to it, the speech just gets people hyped and that's it, you know. And so same thing with music. It's an expression, and it happens to be an expression that people will play over and over their CD and hear it a bunch of times, and so you gear it towards that. But if there's no organization, no real campaigns that are actually talking about changing the material. Because when people are talking about the struggle, on a real life, everybody's involved in the struggle. When they go to work, when they, you know, when they're dealing with things on a day-to-day basis. And so far, I mean, lately, all the movements that we can see visually are handling not the day-to-day things. They're handling the big things that need to be talked about, like WTO, FTAA and things like that. But that's not where people are struggling. The idea, first of all, would be to collectivize the individual struggles that everybody is in. So those would be things like, that's how the CPUSA got really big, was they were handling these day-to-day struggles and saying, let's collectivize those struggles, as opposed to putting these struggles as... and juxtaposing them to the day-to-day struggles that everybody is going to. Like, you need to get off from work for a week and come protest the WTO. No, most people aren't going to be able to do that. And what you're doing is you're setting up an idea that the struggle is outside of your daily life, you know. And so, do I think the music is doing anything by itself? no. Hopefully it can be used by people that are organizing to do stuff, and hopefully it can inspire people to want to get involved in stuff.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally agree. I was just curious, like, as you went around, and it's not even like it's just your music per se. Like, how do you feel? Okay, like 15 years into it with the music, how do you feel about the state of people, or all this stuff that you're talking about? You know, like, do you see it going on? And, I mean, there's lots of examples of it working, and there's lots of examples of it not working. And this, how do you feel as somebody who's maybe a little more experienced than some, you know, other people have more, but where do you see it on the timeline? Things gelling together more?
Well, I think that definitely, even compared to, let's say, the 60s, the people are, the anti-war movement, well, let's say this, the anti-war movement isn't just contained inside of marches and rallies. There are people that are the average everyday person is much more informed about what's going on and what's behind this war. And you can credit that not to it coming out on the news, but to organizers and people, you know, getting the word out and you know, connecting, that helping people connect the dots, you know.
I can see that. I want to let you go, man. If there's anything else that you want to tell people, Olympia, feel free, but that's great. That's enough. People need to go see you if they want to hear more of you, and you're always welcome to, you know, say something, you know, call up. We'll give you our contact on the radio. Do you have anything you want to say before I go? Because okay, why don't we ask it and we'll take it.
Well, it's a simple question. Well, maybe it's not. I don't know. I have a little girl, too, and I'm just wondering what your little girl thinks of your song for her.
Well, at first she was like, you know, when I first played it to her, she was 4, and she listened to half of it and was like, you know, she was like, okay, you know, I want to go play and stuff. Now she, you know, if I don't do it in a set, then she'll, you know, get mad, or not get mad, but say, oh, you don't like the song anymore or whatever. Things like that. She's 8 now. Yeah. So it's been a while.
That's one of the things I really respect about your music is how you tackle sexism, and I think that you have a very powerful voice that a lot of women can look to.
Well, I mean, I didn't think of it in that. That was one of those where I was just writing about personal things. What do you want to tell your daughter? And you don't want to. Some people are like, well, I'm a, you know, as their way of getting their daughter through the trials and tribulations that she's going to face as a woman, they're just like struggle through all that, and all I'm doing is addressing it in a song. I didn't really do it to be like, oh, it's a song against sexism or whatever. It's just like, this is, you know, what I wanted to say, you know, to her, you know.
That's beautiful. And would you mind doing a little shout out for our station?
Okay.
It's
98.5 FM.
Yeah. What's going on? This is Booth Riley from The Coup out of Oakland, California. And if you ever see my face on America's Most Wanted and I'm in hiding, don't look in the basement of Free Radio Olympia, because you might find me there. Peace.